Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. We're glad you found us. As always, I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the seaside golf capital of the world. Darren Bunch out there in California, where there is a wealth of golf courses. It really is the golf capital, well, of California, as I like to say, Darren. We're thrilled because it's emergency nine time. We love these particular episodes. And today, somebody who truly, I think, will have some of the best answers we've had yet, not to put pressure on him, but our good friend Sean Ogle of Breaking 80 and the Breaking 80 Club is going to join us.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask a question too, since we'll kind of depart from convention here, since you mentioned Bakersfield. I've fallen in love with this goofy, horribly designed little golf course. It's called Sundale. I'm not afraid to admit it. It cost me $25 to play in the afternoon. It's in kind of an elderly community, so there's nobody playing in the late afternoon. I can walk it in less than 3 hours, and I can take my dog with me. If you could do all that, and Sean, feel free to chime in here. If you could do all that, would you play a terrible golf course if you could play it fast and take your dog with you and play it cheap?
Personally, absolutely. You know, golf, you know, it's one of those things. Playing great golf courses is always enjoyable, but so much of it is about your experience, who you're with, you know, being, you know, outside. So I think it's totally worth doing.
And Darren, when you asked me this question, how quickly did I respond?
Right, right. Mitch texted immediately. He's always going to choose the dog because I have an option here in Bakersfield where I can play a pretty good public course for $18, or I can go play this goofy, poorly designed course, which ironically has the best greens in town. So that adds to the allure of this $25 golf course that I go out and play and there's nobody out there and I walk with my dog and I have a blast. So, anyway, that's neither here nor there, but, it's one of those, one of those things I thought I'd throw out there since we're always mentioning or not mentioning Bakersfield. A lot of times I ask Mitch to just never mention Bakersfield, because the golf here is not of the highest quality compared to other places that we get to talk about so often, but I figured, what the hell, we'll throw it out there.
You know what? You have changed that forever now, because I am going to say the introduction from now on will be that I'm in Myrtle Beach, seaside golf capital of the world, and Darren Bunch is in Bakersfield, home to the great Sundale Golf Club. And I'm going to say it, trust me, because having a dog, you know, we're getting off topic, but who cares? Darren and I have both felt this way because we've played Scotland. We've been with people who bring their dogs on the golf course. My wife is from Sweden, Sean. And when you go play golf in Sweden at any golf course, you always see people with their dogs. They have them leashed to a pull cart, usually. But they're always out there. It doesn't matter what time, doesn't matter whether it's, well, there's only really one golf season in Sweden, but you always see it. And I always say the thing to me that I really don't like and I hate about our attitude is that we haven't included these parts, you know, of golf and the ability to play it with the animals that we love, no matter what that is. If you want to leash your cat and bring it, great, go ahead. All right, Darren, let's get to the emergency nine. This could have been a great emergency nine question.
Could we? Hey, we should probably, since we have Sean, and I remember seeing a great Insta story that Sean did about somebody who sent him an epic bottle of scotch that he was going to drink on a special occasion. And, you know, you and I, Mitch, obviously we have a wee nip and we are known to drink a little bit on the job here. Today I'm drinking a little bit of Featherbone bourbon from our friends at Journeyman Distillery. But I feel like we should get Sean's opinion on what the best scotch is, since we've just gone completely off the rails at the beginning of this show anyway.
that's a whole podcast in and of itself. But if you know, held my feet to the fire and said, you have to pick one scotch right now that isn't something like super crazy, I would say the Bowmore Tempest, which is a special edition that you can only get in Europe. But in the U.S., it's called Doris Moore. I learned that when I went to Isla in October. It's got the right balance of like fruity and smoky. It's not super cheap. The Doris Moore in the U.S. is like $140 a bottle in Oregon, at least. But it is absolutely fantastic.
How do you spell that?
So Bowmore, B-O-W-M-O-R-E, and it's like D-O-R-U-S-M-O-R, I think. Or D-O-R-I-S, something like that.
All right, I'll find it.
You
I just
want
to know because I haven't, yeah.
I don't think we realized spelling was going to be on the test, Mitch.
No, but for me, that's one of the things, because as soon as I'm done with you and Sean, guess what I'm doing? I'm going to find me some.
Well, I can give you all kinds of recommendations based on that. But
That's how deep it is. All right, let's get to the Emergency Nine. For those of you wondering who might have missed Sean's earlier podcast with us and you have no idea who he is, let's say that we're glad to have Sean Ogle with us, somebody that we've known for a while. We all hit it off because, as we said in the earlier podcast, we really share the common belief that golf should be a game of fun. And certainly Sean has made his life one that is about fun. He's the founder of the golf site Breaking 80. He's documented his quest to play the top 100 golf courses in the world and recently founded the 80 Club, which is a golf society and online forum for private club members. If you want to get more info on that, listen to the earlier podcast. You will enjoy it. When he's not on the golf course, he runs Location Rebel, and that's a community that teaches people how to build small lifestyle businesses that allow them to quit their jobs, travel, and do more of the stuff they really enjoy in life. So if that's you, find Sean. You can find him on Instagram at Breaking80, that's spelled out, E-I-G-H-T-Y, and on Twitter at Breaking_80. And Sean, welcome back. We are thrilled to have you and can't wait to do this Emergency Now with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, D, you ready? We're going to jump right in.
Go to it.
Okay, the first question. Your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world, and you've seen a lot of the world.
So I kind of hate answering this question because it feels like a generic answer, but it's one that I think people are going to find polarizing. And for me, it's Pebble Beach. I had an absolute blast playing Pebble Beach, and it's my favorite course in the world.
Holy smokes. I thought you were going to say like St. Andrews or something like that, because people, until you said polarizing, why would you consider Pebble Beach to be polarizing?
So maybe it was when I went through, like, I feel like my expectations were tempered because, you know, I think everybody agrees that, you know, holes like 4 through 10 and 17 and 18 are world-class, unbelievable holes. But I've had so many people tell me that, you know, the inland holes aren't very good or Pebble Beach is overrated. Like, you know, no one says it's, you know, we'll say it's a bad course, but I've had a lot of people tell me it's overrated. But for me,
you've been talking to Donald Trump a lot, apparently.
Yeah, right. Well, and you guys know me, I'm all about fun golf and the experience. You know, it helps that when I played it, we played in, you know, under 4 hours. We had the third tee time of the day. I'm not sure there's a more fun golf course on the planet than Pebble Beach.
You are a monster of walking golf if you can walk that golf course in under 4 hours, let alone play it. So, you know, hats off to that. And, I'm the same way, obviously. And I've had some odd experiences at Pebble and some great experiences at Pebble. And it has been well documented on this show that I had one really good experience on the fifth at Pebble. It's where I have one of my two holes in one. It's extraordinary. And anybody who says it's not, for me, price is really the only complaint anybody can have about it, because it's beautiful. It's killer golf. It's fun. You look at every shot and think, about all the guys who have hit that shot that you've watched on TV, whether it be in majors or during the AT&T. I'm with you. There's no reason it shouldn't be at the top of anyone's list, to be honest.
I agree. And I've been surprised at how many people have come to me and be like, Pebble Beach was overrated. It wasn't as good as I expected it to be, blah, blah, blah. And it's the most expensive round of golf I've ever paid for. And I was like, there is no way on earth that this is going to be worth the price. And I will say that I've only played it once. The day I had there was hands down absolutely worth the price. It was unbelievable.
And I tell people that all the time. I say if I had the money, I'd play Pebble Beach every day. I absolutely love it. So another reason why we're kindred spirits when it comes to golf. So, all right. So you've been everywhere, it feels like. We've established that you haven't been to Kauai, and gogolfkauai.com is our sponsor for this episode, even though we just blew right through that at the beginning because we were talking about dogs and golf and scotch and all that other stuff. But what's at the top of your golf travel bucket list?
So I'll give you two answers. You know, if there is outside of like, you know, Pine Valley, Augusta, and Cypress Point, I haven't played any of those. You know, the next one, the biggest one I want to go play is National out on Long Island. You know, just to see, you know, it's like the St. Andrews of the United States. You know, there's so much history there. You know, that's the course that I'm really excited to one day find a way to play. But as far as like a more destination of like a bigger overarching trip, I am really, really excited to go to Australia. I'm trying to put together like a big 3-week trip that'll be, you know, a dozen plus golf courses early next year. That'll do Tasmania and King Island and New Zealand as well. And it's, you know, one area of the world that I haven't been. So, you know, I'm both excited for it from a golf perspective, as well as just, you know, seeing a couple new countries.
Why do I think you're going to respond, Darren?
Well, Australia and King Island, Tasmania are definitely epic. I did not go to New Zealand on my trip earlier this year, but I did those big three, and just, you know, I can't speak highly enough about it. And when you get ready to plan that trip too, let me tell you about a little place called Ratho Farm that will blow your mind in its fun and simplicity, that you should throw onto the list as well. So we'll have to talk about that off show a little bit.
Absolutely. Here, quick question for you. Just, you know, don't have to elaborate. Was there any course you played that you were underwhelmed by or that did not live up to expectations?
Yeah, and I hesitate to say it, but to me, New South Wales was the course on the trip that to me didn't live up to what people had talked about and what I had hoped it would be. It has a couple of phenomenal holes, but it's just kind of a little strange to me. And the people were great, and I'm not thankful enough for the people who helped get us on for that trip. But when you've played, I played Kingston Heath, I played Royal Melbourne, and then I played, you know, everything worth playing on Tasmania, and I went out to King Island and played Wickham and Ocean Dunes. So it's just, to me, New South Wales was the one that I wished had been better to live up to those handful of holes that are really good. When you get down, you're hitting off an island to a par three, which is something I'd never quite experienced before.
Got it. Well, didn't mean to sidetrack. I was just personal curiosity.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, usually we try to turn people on to golf courses. This is one where you could cross it off your list. No, so.
Like I said, I hesitate to say it because there are people who play it and absolutely love the golf course. And for me, it just didn't resonate the way. And we have that discussion about a lot of things. I can't remember if I've had it with you, Sean, about Whistling Straits versus Arcadia Bluffs. It's one of those places. I saw Arcadia Bluffs was really high on some list I looked at not long ago. And, you know, I completely didn't get it when I played it. You know, it didn't seem particularly fair. It didn't seem particularly playable. It didn't seem particularly scenic. When you go across the lake and you play Whistling Straits and you're like, wow, and I'm just completely blown away. So, you know, it's hard to be critical of those golf courses, but that is kind of what we do. And, you know, I try to keep it 100, you know, when it comes to golf courses, and just New South Wales just wasn't my cup of tea.
Okay, everybody feels differently about courses, so it's absolutely fine. Don't feel too bad. Sean, we're going to move on to the third question in this emergency nine. The best place you have ever stayed?
Oh, this one's easy. The Shangri-La Villangilly in the Maldives. For our honeymoon, my wife said I got one round of golf, and I didn't really like that answer. And so I found the only golf course in the entire country of the Maldives, which is it's got a short, you know, par three golf, 9-hole par three golf course. And I could go play it every morning before she even woke up. She had no idea. And it was the absolute most exotic place I've ever been. It was the best hotel I've ever stayed in. It was, you know, probably the best week of my life. It was unreal.
That is outstanding.
Isn't that cool? And I, you can, again, when I talk about Sean's Instagram account, go there, because there are, the thing about everything you do, you take great pictures. So anything you're talking about, people can see. And I saw the picture of that place and what you said about it, and I loved it.
And I'm going to throw the idea. One other answer, just that's a little bit more, you know, not off the beaten track. And I'm going to say the Glen Eagles Hotel. I was amazed at the whole property at Glen Eagles. The hotel in particular, one of the nicest places I've ever stayed, easily one of the best golf hotels out there.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I got to go to the Glen Eagles, but I just played golf for the day and then we went back to where we were staying. And so it was just a day trip and didn't get to really take in the full experience. I really wish we had when we were there. Hey, Mitchell, I've got a question for you. Sean mentioned his honeymoon, and of course, you know that my honeymoon was at a place we've already mentioned. My wife and I honeymooned at Pebble Beach because my wife is awesome. Where was your honeymoon?
Well, my wife is awesome. It didn't have anything to do that. With golf. I'm not... But no, our honeymoon was actually in Key West.
Oh, okay.
And it was we got married in August and we went down in December. Because we decided, wouldn't it be cool to go to Key West in December for Christmas and New Year's?
Nice.
And we drove all the way down. We flew to Miami, then we drove all the way down and had one of the absolute weirdest Christmas Eves that I can ever remember in life, because it was in Key West.
That sounds like a whole nother podcast.
It's another podcast. It is. Trust me. This isn't Sean's Emergency 9, but it was pretty weird. And it did not include, we did play golf one day. On one of the islands, but it wasn't memorable, and we had fun, but nothing major.
Those are great times. The holidays are great times to travel to play golf, and most people don't realize it. The last time I was on Kauai, gogolfkauai.com, just to throw that out there as a sponsor of this episode, was over Christmas as well. And it's a cool time to travel, because a lot of people just don't think to do it because they want to stay home for the holidays.
Yeah, anyway, no, I agree with that.
Go ahead.
I agree with that. All right, so Dee, the fourth question on the Emergency 9.
Sean, what is the single best thing you have ever eaten on a trip, and where, and why, and what was it, and is it going to make my mouth water?
So I'll give you two answers. You know, the one that comes to mind as far as eating goes was actually just recently. I went to Atlanta on a golf trip last month, and we went to Bones Steakhouse. And I had a filet there that was probably the best steak I have ever had in my life. It was absolutely unbelievable. But the better answer was actually when I went to go play a Cascada in Vegas. So I went with my friend Dan, who is he's the guy that got me into scotch, like really got me into it. And we were at a steakhouse at the MGM. And we're having a drink before we went to dinner. And the bartender was like, I can tell you guys are really into scotch. Well, I've got something you will never, ever see ever again. And we're like, okay, what's that? She's like, it's a flight of 4 50-year-old scotches.
Ooh.
And my friend Dan, being the guy he is, he's like, oh, we're doing that. Absolutely. Like after dinner, he's like, my treat, we're going to do this. And so the cheapest one on its own for a 2-ounce pour was $325. And the most expensive one for a 2-ounce pour was $425. And their deal was you get 3/4 of an ounce of each for $300. And so you got an extra ounce, plus you got to try all of them. And my friend, who was basically like, he's like, look, we could go to a craps table and lose that, you know, in an hour and never remember it. Or we can try
10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Or we can try these scotches and we're going to talk about that for the rest of our lives. And we have, and it was hands down. That was probably the very best scotch I've ever had.
Which was?
It was the Mortlach 50. So there was 2 Gordon McPhails. It was like a 1936 and a 1939, a 1939 Mortlach and a 1946 Glenlivet.
Nice.
Wow.
And you say you were at the MGM. Were you at Craft Steak or were you?
Yeah, it was a Craft Steak at a Colicchio's place.
Nice. Well, there's something I need to do.
And it made both of our mouths water.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I'm going to have to go try it. My my sister, I don't know if we've mentioned, my sister-in-law is a bigwig in the MGM Corporation. And so I end up at MGM Grand quite a bit. I might have to go check that little tasting out.
Well, then you're the guy I need to talk to about going to go play Shadow Creek.
You well, I could be a guy that you could talk to. Sure.
All right.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Talking about talking, besides golf and people, because both of those are obviously a big part of the golf trip. But what else? What's the most important thing to you on a trip besides the golf and the people?
So obviously those are the two big things. I think food and drink, you know, I'm a big, like, if you can't tell, I like good food and I like, you know, good drinks. I think that's a plus. But I think for me, and I don't know if this answer fits, but it's the answer I'm going to give. For me, the things about golf trips that I think are the most interesting are the fact that you're often going to places you never would have gone otherwise. Places that make you kind of say, how did I end up here? And I still remember the first big golf trip I took was to Wisconsin and Michigan. And I was up in like deep northern Michigan driving out to Forest Dunes. And I was like, how on earth did I end up here? And I've had similar reactions playing a course outside of Bangkok where I was like, it's like an hour and a half outside Bangkok. And you're just like, where am I? Driving to Ballyneal, you get that same kind of thing. And so I think, you know, that's one of my favorite parts about golf trips is going to these places that I never in a million years would have seen or had any thoughts of going to and having that unique experience that that provides.
That's a great point. We talk all the time about some of the best places to play golf, certainly in the States. You have to be, someone described it to me as you have to be intentional about getting there. And I think about that with Ballyneal. I think about it with Bandon, with the Prairie Club, those places where you're just out in the middle. And if you're in a car with somebody making the trip to one of those places and just having a good time and enjoying it, Brian Orr and I were on a trip, Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, sorry. And I were on a trip to the Prairie Club and we're driving in the middle of the night and we were cranking System of a Down on the rental car and just we had the windows rolled down and having a blast. And I think you're right. I mean, just finding yourself in these crazy places that you never thought you'd be all because of golf is yet another great thing about what brings us all together.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, Mitchell, what's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment that you can't live without, Sean?
So for this one, I'm going to go with Holderness and Born golf polos. You know, I'm not sure if you know those guys, but absolutely love what they've done, which is kind of taking a, you know, the traditional golf look and putting a modern spin on it, you know, modern fit, more tailored shirts. I've probably got 7 or 8 of them. I wear them for 85% of my rounds and absolutely love them.
All right. That's a good piece of info.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that before.
That's something we definitely have never heard before. I haven't even heard of that company. I will immediately be Googling that, when this is over.
And one other thing I'll throw out there that's completely different is Arcos Golf. You know, I don't know if you've had anyone that uses those, but they're basically sensors that you put on each of your clubs that pair with your phone, and they give you basically any statistic you could ever want to know about your round. Every shot distance, you know, every, you know, missed fairway and all of that stuff. And I love being able to go in after my rounds and relive it hole by hole and see every shot that I hit and see, you know, how the trends change statistics wise. So that's another thing that I can't live without.
And here's the better part of Arcos to me, which is that after you get all your stats and you're going to travel somewhere where you've never played through this Microsoft connection that they have,
yep,
you can actually plan. You can look at that golf course that you've never been on and plan a good way to play it. You can actually plan strategy before you get anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that once they really get that part down, I think that's going to be a fantastic thing for the traveling golfer, for people like us. Wow.
100%. And they're just in the process of rolling out all of that Microsoft stuff.
Right.
But I've seen the beta and it's really cool.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
It's good stuff.
All right. So breaking 80 was your mantra for a long time. You told us you did that a couple of years ago. At this point, what would you say? You said you started as this kind of a 16 when this whole process started. What's your handicap now? Do you have a particular set of tees you go to automatically, or do you like playing from different tees? What's that like for you?
Yeah. So as of yesterday, I'm a 7.7. So I've gotten down to, I got down to like a 7.1 is as low as I've been. And as far as yardage and tees, I really play with, you know, wherever the group that I'm with wants to play. So if I'm playing with, you know, some of my local friends and college friends that, you know, aren't quite as good, you know, a lot of times we'll play like whites or combos, whatever kind of ends up at like the 62 to 6,400 yards. You know, if I'm playing with scratch golfers and we have to move back to, you know, closer to 7,000, I'll happily do it and get beat up and have a terrible score, but that's great. So I think it's much more about, you know, who you're with. And then also, you know, the golf course itself. So usually I'll go for like blue tees, you know, something like 65, 6,600 range. But then if there's a tee box that's interesting and is going to, you know, make for a much better hole or a much more different hole, then I'll move, you know, back or forward to play the most interesting tee boxes.
Nice. That's what I like too. I like to switch it around and play from different looks. We did that at Bandon, my most recent trip, and played from a couple of different tee boxes on Bandon Dunes that I didn't even know existed, that just kind of found and was like, oh, okay, yeah, this isn't still the green tees or whatever the color was we were playing, but, you know, let's go hit it from there and have a good time. So who is the most interesting person you've ever golfed with?
Oh, man. I'll give you, again, two answers for this one. One is, I'm not going to say his name, you know, don't want to, you know, give him any undue attention if he doesn't want it, but we played at the Valley Club down outside of Santa Barbara, and this guy had to have been the most well-connected person I have ever met, and he had so many interesting stories of playing with famous golfers, famous celebrities, and he was telling it in a way that it wasn't bragging. It was just matter of fact, you know, this is my life, these are my stories, and it was absolutely fascinating. So that happened earlier this year. That was one of them. And then the other one was a couple of years ago at King's Barnes, and I was paired up with two Japanese guys, that were members of the RNA. And what made this round so interesting was we were playing on the same day that they were in town to vote on whether or not to allow women members in the RNA.
Wow. And
so obviously being from Japan, you know, culture is totally different. And so they had different opinions and different views on, you know, that vote than I think the vast majority of people in the RNA did. So hearing them talk about it and give their reasoning behind it and all of that, I found to just be absolutely fascinating.
And did they go the other way on that?
Did they
say that women shouldn't be allowed?
Yeah, they said they were voting the other way on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it's a cultural deal. That makes total sense. But how cool. And again, if we're talking about traveling and the great thing about traveling and playing golf, that you were able to do that and play with those two guys who were members of the RNA was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. And it's amazing how golf, especially when you're traveling, just how many random experiences like that you have and how many interesting people you meet.
Yeah. All right. The ninth question before our bonus question, the one golf course you wish everyone knew about.
Okay, I'm going to give two answers for this again. One is a course called Tokatee Golf Club. It's about an hour outside Eugene, Oregon. You know, back in like the early 90s, it was on kind of the like, you know, top best public courses and things like that. But now is largely, you know, even people in Oregon haven't heard of it. But it's just in this amazing setting, you know, kind of in a valley with, you know, giant, you know, mountains and trees surrounding you. And it's not an overly hard golf course, but it's a place that I've been going for my entire life. So it's got some sentimental value and it's just unbelievable setting, really fun greens, usually in really good shape, and is, you know, definitely one of those ones in Oregon that's a little bit off the beaten path that I think more people should enjoy. And the second answer, which I think is, you know, not sure I actually want more people to know about this, but it's the Sheep Ranch in Bandon. The Sheep Ranch is hands down one of my top three best golf experiences I have ever had. And the fact that it looks like they may be, you know, building a new course there or removing it in its current form, I think is really disappointing because they have one of the most unique things in golf going. And, you know, even if they made it part of the resort and charged, you know, a bunch more money to do it, I think it would be totally worth it. And so it's one of those things, a lot of people know about it, but there's a lot of people that don't, and I think they're missing out on one of the great experiences in golf right now.
Yeah, certainly we're big fans of the Sheep Ranch, and I'm there with you. The good thing, you can take solace in the fact that I think it's going to be a while before they actually do anything that they want to do with the sheep ranch. You know, I know they've attached gill hands to it and whatnot, but having gone through all that process in helping out the guys at Pacific Gales down the road, I know it's going to take a while to get it to where it is. And I'm like you, I'm going to play the sheep ranch as much as possible until that happens. Unfortunately, we took Jason Dean from Golf Advisor up there earlier in the year, and it was during the snowstorm, and we weren't able to play it that day. It was just too cold and too rainy. But you know, I absolutely love it. But it's funny you mentioned Tokatee. I was just having a conversation with someone the other day. Our buddy Brian Orr, golf photographer extraordinaire, is trying to actually. He's going to do the photography for Sylvie's Valley out
Sylvie's Ranch.
Right, Sylvie's Ranch. Sylvie's Valley Ranch, Sylvie's Ranch, I never know.
Sylvie's Valley Ranch.
But it's going to be out to the, you know, it's out, I guess, east of Bend. And I was trying to figure out a way to go up and meet him up there and thinking to myself, well, I need to take a trip where I go up and then turn right and go play Tokatee, which I've driven by before and never played, and then hit Tethero and Bend because it's one of my favorites, and then go out to Sylvie's. So it just looks like a cool place, and I've literally driven past it twice and have not been able to stop and play it. And I think it's one of those places that I need to make a point to get to now.
Yeah. So. You know, I'm not sure it's a place I would advise people to travel across the world to go play, but if you're in Oregon and it's an hour out of the way, it's worth the drive to go out of your way and experience, you know, something that's just a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Final bonus question. Tell us your best golf course story. What's the coolest, weirdest, craziest thing you've ever seen or done on a golf course?
So I don't know if this is coolest, weirdest, or craziest, but this is my best golf course story. So it was actually my day at Pebble Beach. And it was after the round. We're sitting in the pub and we're kind of in the back by ourselves. And we're just, you know, I'm talking with my friend Dan that was with me, just geeking out about the fact we just played Pebble Beach. Just had this unbelievable day. We're recounting every hole and every shot. And these three guys come and they sit down next to us. And, you know, they kind of start talking. Wasn't paying any attention to, you know, who they were until one of them mentioned, he's like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about going up to Dornick on a golf trip here in a couple weeks. I'm trying to decide if it's worth making the drive. And at the time, Dornick was my favorite course. Now it's like third on my list, but Dornick is absolutely amazing. So instinctively I turn and I'm just like, hey, if you're going to Scotland, you have got to go to Dornick. It is absolutely amazing. You're not going to regret it. And that's when I realized it was Steph Curry. And, it was, 2 weeks after they won the championship in 2015, and he was with the two owners of the Warriors. And then we talked for a few more minutes about golf in Scotland, but I was just like, you know, it's like when you're, you know, at a bar, at a golf course, like, you know, you're just instinctively talking about things. And I didn't have any idea, but looked over and was like, oh, didn't mean to interrupt that conversation, but ended up with a pretty good story out of it.
That is awesome.
I love that. That's cool. People say that sometimes about talking to Darren after a round.
Yeah.
They look over and they went, I didn't realize it was Darren Bunch.
I didn't realize it was you.
No. I wouldn't have said anything if I'd realized it was Darren.
Man, Sean, we can't thank you enough. Great stuff. And we could, Mitch says this all the time, but with you, it's really, really true. Obviously we could talk for hours and hours and hours. We got to have you back on the show and maybe dive into a couple other just specific topics to really get your thoughts on a lot of other stuff.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun to geek out and talk about all the travel stuff, and you guys are doing a great job with the podcast. So I'm excited to get it live and listen to it.
Thanks, Sean. We will have you on again, as Darren said. Again, if you want to find Sean at Breaking 80, E-I-G-H-T-Y, and on Twitter at Breaking _80. And just there's so much great information, and it will lead you everywhere you need to go. So thanks to Sean. We also want to thank, again, we kind of gave it a little short shrift today, but you definitely want to go to gogolfkauai.com from our friends at Golf Package Pros, and they'll be able to put together a monstrous trip to the great island of Kauai in Hawaii. We want you to do that, and we're glad you're with us. Without you guys, we couldn't be doing this, and Darren, as we always say, this is the reason we're doing it, so we can all find out about just the kind of stuff that Sean turned us on to today. You can hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, hashtag 2 Haggis Bags. And if Sean keeps coming on the show, we might have to make it 3 Haggis Bags. feel free to share us with your friends, rate us on iTunes, do all the things you can to help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. And as we always do at the end of our shows, think about running down your own dream. Have fun doing it. Go play some golf. Take it away, Tom Petty. So long.